Before we dive into this episode, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please take a second to leave a review. Reviews help boost the show so that others struggling in a toxic workplace can find it. You can also go to my website, toxicworkplacepodcast.com, to send me a message, or if you want to be a guest on the show, you can fill out a submission request. Your story will be completely anonymous. All names are changed to protect the employee and the employer. I've also recently added a toxic workplace quiz where you can answer questions about your current situation, maybe your past situation, and see where it falls on the toxicity scale. Go to toxicworkplacepodcast.com.
During the pandemic, I put myself through graduate school. My goal in earning my graduate degree was to pivot out of freelance work into full-time employment and specifically to get onto a career path in product.
This is Grace. Grace had big aspirations when she shifted her career trajectory. After graduating, she interviewed with some of the top tech companies on the West Coast and quickly landed a position with what she thought to be a reputable company where she could truly advance her career.
When a company on my top 10 list requested an interview, I was pretty stoked. During the interview process, the hiring manager didn't ask me any questions about my professional background or experience. He simply said that he felt I could do the job and that it was really more a matter of whether I wanted to do the job. So I asked how technical the role was, and the response that I got was that it wasn't that technical at all. I would later find out that that was a total fabrication and everything about the job was technical.
The interview and job offer moved quickly. Grace's questions and concerns were brushed aside. She was assured that she was capable of performing the job duties despite the hiring manager's limited knowledge of her beyond her resume. This company was in a haste to hire, which Grace would soon find was due to high turnover, low morale, excessive workloads, and non-existent management support, which would leave Grace to fend for herself. My name's Carly, and this is Toxic Workplace, a podcast that gives a platform to those who have survived highly toxic work experiences, only to come out with newfound wisdom and a renewed sense of self. A toxic workplace is more than just the daily grind. It's a soul-crushing experience that will chip away at your sanity until you're about to lose your mind. It's an abusive relationship that's hard to leave. And the longer you stay, the more you lose sight of who you set out to be.
Aside from sharing a handful of outdated documents and wiki pages, my manager didn't onboard me. I quickly realized this company had an employee retention problem. My boss had sent me a lot of internal documentation. I'm looking at this stuff and I'm going, terminated, terminated, terminated. Like you would say that like the person was terminated, that like they didn't work there anymore. And all of this like internal wiki pages and stuff. And I was like, that was just from like 6 months ago. Okay, that person left. Okay, that person also left. Okay. And it got to the point where I realized there's literally nobody at this company that has any historical information that I need. Okay, that's not good. So even if you're lucky enough to find information about technical integrations previous managers had done, you had no idea how much of it was true today. And furthermore, you didn't know what those product managers hadn't done. I remember asking early on if there was schematic, like a high-level visual representation of all the marketing technology tools being used today and for which products. I was simply told no. So I learned really early on that I couldn't go to my manager if I had questions because he'd either punt it back onto me or he'd send me on a fool's errand. My manager was a senior director and had been with the company for a decade. So he had a ton of historical knowledge and context, but he used that knowledge to have power over others and he would hoard what he knew. He would literally share information out of nowhere in meetings in front of others, but if I went to him directly, he wouldn't help me. It was clear he wanted to be in control of how he was perceived, even at the cost of people on his own team. And it's not like I was asking my manager to do my job. I was simply asking to be pointed in the right direction. he had this thing about telling me that my colleague Nick was working on a particular task and that if I had questions about doing something similar, I should reach out to him. So then I'd go reach out to Nick and he'd say, oh, that's incorrect. I'm not doing that yet. Or I haven't started on that yet. So I consistently felt like everywhere I turned, I didn't receive support. I mean, I felt isolated. I remember being on a Zoom call. We all worked remotely really early on with my manager and the rest of our team. And I leaned over to grab a pen to take notes during the call. For a split second, my face was out of the video frame. And my manager called me out on the call asking if I was paying attention. And I responded with, yes, I was just grabbing a pen. And I thought, okay, why would he assume I wasn't paying attention? I was, you know, told by a colleague that the previous female in my role was fired due to performance issues. Clearly, I'm not her. Like, I just started this job and already my manager has this chip on his shoulder towards me based on his experience with someone else. Like, that did not sit right with me.
From the very beginning, Grace's manager gave her zero support or direction. She knew she was being tested to see if she would sink or swim. Having never done this type of work before, Grace was pushing at double speed to gain clarity and understanding of her assigned tasks. She was constantly jumping through hoops to keep up with the work that was dumped on her, and without any direction or feedback, she had no clue whether the work she was producing was sufficient.
My manager throughout my first year at the company didn't give me constructive feedback on my work, not during our one-on-ones or via email. And it's not like there wasn't a structure in place for giving and receiving feedback. He would just do the bare minimum to participate in it. So he would make generalized comments such as, you need to level up all around, or you need to communicate with this person differently, without sharing any actionable takeaways or insights to empower my professional growth. What's worse, he would perpetuate gossip and say things like, oh, all the TPAs have complained about you, without telling me specifically who had complained about me, in what situation, or why. So over the first year and a half, my manager would interrupt, dismiss, or talk over me. So if you can imagine, you're on a call with your manager. He's telling you this random negative information without all the context, and he's not letting you respond. It got to the point where I just stopped trying to talk. I would leave every virtual meeting where he was in attendance feeling totally and completely disempowered. Time and time again, I'd get off calls with him and have to step away from my computer because I was so upset. There was a cross-functional team that I worked really closely with called Product Operations. Their role is to partner with product managers to handle scheduling and recording meetings, sharing notes, emailing meeting recaps, things like that. I was partnered up with, let's call him Kevin, and he and I had weekly project meetings where Kevin was supposed to be supporting me. Except that more and more, Kevin would simply not show up, or he'd be driving while on the call. Like, I could tell he was in a car driving. And, you know, this had gone on for months before I finally decided to raise it with my manager, hoping to receive support. My manager's response to me was, well, but you can do it yourself, though, right? Mind you, I'm not being paid to do this other person's job as well as my own. And doing so is making it hard for me to deliver high quality work, because I'm unable to devote all of my time to my core job responsibilities. You know, he never took any action or helped me get this situation handled in any way. I was just left to do everything myself. And not surprisingly, Kevin ended up getting transferred internally to another team. And at that time, I was never reassigned a replacement product ops person. I literally was just at a loss. And I was already working long hours. And so that meant I was working even longer hours. Between the a little over 2 years at this company, I worked anywhere between 10 and 13 hour days on a regular basis, and that was just average. It just continued to perpetuate my feeling of being isolated.
Feedback is essential to the success of any employee, and is particularly important with new hires since they're still in the acclimation period, learning the processes and expectations of their role. The generic feedback given by Grace's manager left her feeling discouraged and lost, wondering how she could improve and what the specific issues even were in the first place. Refusing to sink under the pressure, Grace pushed herself even harder to stay afloat and do a better job to prove to her manager that she was capable.
I was told that Nick would be going on paternity leave for roughly 5 months and that I needed to backfill him while executing on my own work. So this meant taking ownership over a tool I was never even trained on or knew much about, including engineering tickets he had put in. I felt like I was being set up to fail, but I just convinced myself, okay, I just need to get Nick's work out the door. It's going to be fine. What I didn't know was that the quality assurance engineers who checked to make sure that everything is good to go before it actually launches, the ones who had been assigned to support Nick on testing for the whole 8 months that he'd worked on this, they stepped off to go support other areas. So the people assigned to support me, yeah, they knew nothing about this tool. So literally Nick leaves on paternity leave. And I think I've got QA, I've at least got QA people that know what they're doing, right? Nope. They had no freaking clue. And I also didn't know that marketing expected Nick to scale in-app messaging because he never told me that. So this also meant that I was supposed to tackle this project. So my first week taking over Nick's job, my boss's boss put me on the spot during an all-hands meeting. This is the entire product and tech all-hands meeting, by the way. This is like a couple hundred people are on this call. And he literally puts me on the spot asking for an update on one of Nick's projects. Now, taking over someone else's job, especially considering how different the work was, felt like I was basically, it was like day zero at the company. It was so different than what I had been doing, and I knew nothing. So all I could do was just try to shut that down. And nobody had told me I was going to be asked anything during that meeting. And my boss wasn't even in attendance. And I felt completely set up.
Training and communication are both key elements of a properly functioning workplace. Leaving employees at their own devices to figure things out creates frustration and stress. It's also time-consuming because it takes much longer for someone to blindly feel their way through a project rather than be shown a set of guidelines, guidelines of which Grace received none. She was flying blind with no support, spending extra hours of time figuring out her assignments. Her frustration only escalated when she was singled out in the company meeting without warning and without her supervisor to vouch for the inundation of work that was dumped on her with Nick's absence.
I distinctly remember like one meeting I had with marketing when I was first taking over from Nick, where a marketing director was asking for an update on scaling in-app messaging, this like crazy project that I had no idea Nick had agreed to do. And her question went something like, so what's the strategy? Now, in all honesty, I had gone to engineering the week prior and I asked them to support me in the discovery phase, which they refused to do. This meant I had to do all the discovery myself by what we call like testing in. So that basically meant in order to find areas of opportunity to scale in-app messaging, I had to test use cases within the mobile app on my devices, on my iPhone and Android phones, and hope to God my tests were accurate and I hadn't accidentally thought one use case was open when it wasn't. I mean, manually doing this amount of work takes hours upon hours. And you know, before I even had a chance to respond on this call, my manager chimed in with, yeah, Grace, what's the strategy? I'm like sitting there like feeling so overwhelmed because I specifically asked my manager during a one-on-one, like how I should go about handling this project because I really didn't have a clue. And I told him, you know, engineering isn't going to support me. His response was, you know, that he guessed I'd have to do it myself. I don't know if it was just he was expecting me to fail, like, and thought that I would just quit at some point. What ended up happening was I worked myself into the ground. I mean, I was, you know, banking long hours to get everything launched, and I had to put off a surgery that I really needed at the time to ensure the work was 100% launched beforehand. And mind you, when I took over from Nick, this is all happening during the holiday season. So while he's at home enjoying the holidays with his new baby, I was exhausted and stressed to the max. So basically by the end of my first year as a product manager, I managed to get my work and his launched finished the strategy to scale in-app messaging, and wrote a roadmap for the first 6 months of the following year. I mean, I was super proud of what I had accomplished. I also want to briefly mention that I put together multiple strategy decks for projects I did. I was the only product manager to do this. The only one.
Grace was putting everything she had into her job. She refused to throw in the towel no matter how much work was piled on her. She also felt unseen as no one seemed to recognize the hard work and dedication she was contributing. She started to seriously doubt herself and her abilities. It was an isolating place to be. To make matters worse, when she confided in her coworker Nick, it came back to haunt her.
So Nick had come back off of paternity leave. I was trying to have this kind of real conversation with him about my experience, and I was kind of questioning whether I wanted to continue doing this type of work. And I was super clear to him that this conversation was to stay between the two of us. The very next one-on-one I had with my manager, he repeated verbatim what I had told Nick. And as Nick was the only person I told, I approached him about it. And at first he tried to deny he said anything, but then admitted that what he did was messed up. But my manager never let it go, though. Over the rest of my time at the company, my manager kept bringing this up. He would say things like, "So are you wanting to stay on my team or change teams or leave the company?" Forcing me to repeatedly state that I wanted to stay on his team. It felt like he was threatening my job every time he brought it up. What's worse is that I knew I couldn't pursue other internal opportunities even if I wanted to, because the new hiring manager would reach out to my existing. And if my manager knew I was looking, he'd take action right away to replace me. You know, here I was almost a year into this new career path, and I felt like I was failing all the time, even though I was churning out so much work and accomplishing so much. But at the end of the day, I knew I didn't have the support from my manager or my colleagues. So I felt like I was in this work environment where any wrong move I made was being counted against me. There was no room to make a mistake ever. And beyond that, gossip was being treated as truth. So if someone just didn't like you, whatever they said could be held against you. I doubted myself constantly. It's only been within the past, I want to say 2.5, maybe 3 months at the most, that I've really firmly been realizing consistently that this is a toxic work environment, that I should not be treated the way that I have been, that I've had no support, and that that's not okay. I think being treated the way that I was, not just by my direct manager, but also by cross-functional colleagues, it just really wrecked my professional self-esteem. It really started to deteriorate how I felt about myself, because I really pride myself on my work and I really care about what I'm doing. And I want to do the best that I can. I want to be promoted. I want to be able to feel confident. And I never felt that way. Around March of my second year at the company, I was assigned to work on a product launch that was going to be going live to customers in December. But I had never done a full integration before. So I was really intimidated. And all of the other product managers on my team who were assigned to the new product launch were supporting a completely different tool than me. Their tool was new to the company. So there was a lot of excitement and high level visibility. And for that reason, I was really concerned from the get-go that my project was going to get ignored or forgotten about. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. So throughout the entire year, while I was working an average of 10-hour days, my manager was regularly taken off on PTO at least once a month without giving anyone on his team a heads up. We would find out a day or two before that he'd be gone for 2 weeks. It was unacceptable for anyone on his team to do that. During the entire year working on this project, my boss and my boss's boss, yeah, they showed up to a grand total of three of my project meetings. I had no management support. And for that reason, I felt if any balls were dropped, any boxes were left unchecked, it was all going to come back to me. It was very clear that once again, I bore all the responsibility without any management accountability at all. The tool I was working on for this product launch was created by a vendor whom I had worked directly with to ensure integration went smoothly. So I briefed them in on the scope of the project, and they sent me back a project plan within Google Spreadsheets. So I'm looking at this project plan, and I'm realizing that it's not tailored to our integration scope at all. It's just the general project plan. I mean, it was a mess. So I knew the product managers working on the other tool had their project plan in monday.com. So I asked my product operations partner to please drop ours into monday.com because I felt it would be best if all the work was in, you know, for that same launch was in the same place. But her response to me was that she wasn't going to do that because she felt that my project wasn't nearly as complex as the other one the other product managers were working on. So I was left to organize this project plan on my own, even though it was her job to support me in doing so. The issue is that she regularly was prioritizing the other product manager's work over mine. And so what happened was, like, she stopped showing up to my meetings. Like, I'm supposed to have this partner who's supposed to be doing the administrative work on this project. I was literally operating as the project manager and product manager of this project, once again, doing the job of two people. This went on for a year. I mean, at this point, my mental health had been progressively declining. Like, I wasn't sleeping. I would go to bed with a rapid heartbeat and wake up with it. I regularly, you know, felt a heavy pressure on my chest, and I never felt like I could get a full breath in. I was getting brain zaps, which really scared me. And I was having anxiety attacks like every other day. So I was physically exhausted and mentally burnt out. Like, I mean, when you're at that point, like, simple things like eating regular meals and drinking water is like, that just like falls by the wayside because you're mentally spiraling and you're in survival mode. Like, you're unable to think logically. I mean, mentally, even when outside of business hours, I was never able to relax. I was like constantly on edge, thinking any mistake I made would be grounds for termination. I had these personal goals that I was working towards. So quitting without finding employment elsewhere simply wasn't an option. And, you know, the only vacation I took was either for surgeries that I needed or to move apartment. So I never like took like a real vacation. And even when I was on PTO, I was checking my email and Slack. So there was this one time when I was on PTO and I was literally just trying to move apartments. Like, that was it. So I took 1 week off. Okay. So sue me. And, you know, my manager, I had seen like a response to an email that he had made. And there were a bunch of kind of high level managers on this email thread. And he had responded saying that he thought that I didn't put engineering work in, but had he just looked, he would have seen that I did. He didn't even bother to look. He just assumed that I didn't do it. And I was just like, why would you assume that? Like, how much work do I have to do? How many times do I have to bleeping prove myself over and over and over again to get you to bleeping respect me and respect my bleeping work?
Respect was hard to come by under Grace's supervisor. With him being entirely hands-off and not present in the majority of her presentations and meetings, he had no idea the contributions that Grace brought to the table. He never recognized her accomplishments, only pointed out negative aspects that he could conjure up about her work product. Heading into her second year at this company, Grace's mental health was running on fumes, and her first annual review left her even more frustrated and disappointed than before.
It was a really difficult second year, and it took a huge toll on my mental health. And, you know, during my annual review of that year, my manager, I mean, how could he not possibly see all this work I've done? I knew I wasn't going to be up for a promotion. I knew that that wasn't going to happen just because of the experience that I had with my manager not supporting me. You know, in some instances, I felt like he was putting me in situations to just like watch me fail. And so I'm sitting there and it's my annual review. And he's telling me that he only had so much money to dole out to people on our team. And he chose to promote Nick. I thought I had done some really great work. So that was difficult. And I was just kind of sitting there nodding. Okay, you're promoting Nick. Okay. And he also is telling me that he's friends with three higher ups. So my manager is basically saying without saying that he would never be kicked off his pedestal simply for having the right political office relationships. Why he thought any of this was at all appropriate to tell me, like why he told me that he promoted my colleague during my annual review, like what does that have to do with my annual review? Nothing. I was already emotionally drained and burnt out at this point. And then realizing that the monetary expectation that I had, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, was not happening. I was like, I have no motivation at all at this point. There is nothing good coming out of this situation except for my paychecks. That's pretty much it.
There is nothing worse than pouring everything you have into a challenge, conquering that challenge, and being completely dismissed and overlooked by the person who set you up for that challenge in the first place. This is what happened to Grace. She was set up to fail, overcame that, and then was completely ignored by her supervisor and received zero recognition or monetary gain. It was even more of a punch in the gut to hear that Nick was promoted despite the fact that Grace carried his workload through a portion of the year. But this wasn't enough to make Grace give up. She stayed in the race, pushing herself to prove she was cut out for this corporate lifestyle.
I'm not the type of person that's good with office politics. I never have been, because I'm a straight shooter. I'm a very genuine individual. And what I say and how I say it is exactly what I've intended. And so I don't understand these people that are like conniving and like playing all these games and stuff. We work in order to live. We don't live to work. And a lot of these companies, you know, and I'm gonna say it, in the Silicon Valley, okay, I grew up here. I've seen the valley change. I've seen companies come and go. I've seen companies do really well and burn out. And I've seen companies trend and then they're gone. They're here one day and then they're not. So I've seen the valleys. I've experienced layoffs. I've experienced being fired in the past. I've experienced sexual harassment. I've experienced all kinds of things. And you just kind of go through it and you just take it as like another experience, add another feather to your cap, and you, okay, I've learned something from this. But with this company, a few weeks after getting my annual review, the company had its third layoff in 2 years. So the corporate culture had already been incredibly toxic, with people throwing others under the bus, and you know, the finger pointing was getting worse. Ultimately, I knew C-level executives were making poor business decisions, and more than a couple had left the company during my tenure. So, you know, that's concerning. When you start seeing C-level executives like leaving, you're like, what do they know that I don't know? Like, that's a little, you know, and our stock price had dropped and we were losing customers. There was also a lawsuit, by the way, which is public knowledge. You know, so people were scared of being on the chopping block. High-level managers on cross-functional teams who should have known better than to perpetuate toxic behavior were joining in. You know, even a small mistake on like an engineering ticket could be cause for getting blasted on a group Slack channel with engineering management CC'd. So it was like people were keeping score of who had made which mistakes, rather than a recognition that we all worked for the same darn company. And if by golly, we just worked together, maybe we could all reap the rewards.
One of the biggest indicators that there are major issues within an organization are when top executives start to leave. Take it as a sign that something is seriously wrong at the source of leadership. Grace's assessment of the leadership situation was correct. With leaders bailing out, stock prices falling, and mass layoffs, the company's morale developed an every-man-for-himself mentality. Teamwork and trust was non-existent, making it miserable for everyone involved. People were just showing up for a paycheck, with no interest in contributing to a team, because there was no team.
You know, I knew my experience at this company was toxic, and I was never going to get myself into a place of calm if I didn't leave the company. But I also had to come to the conclusion that wherever I went, there I was. In other words, like, I needed to get in control of my anxiety. I had been doing talk therapy, and that had definitely been providing a level of support. My anxiety symptoms were not improving. If anything, they were getting worse. I had opted to start on an SSRI medication. And, you know, I needed to get my brain out of survival mode. When you're not even able to like drink water, eat regular meals, get a good night's sleep, how are you able to function well enough to do interviews? Like, you can't. My biggest regret is not taking action sooner, because I can say it was the best decision that I could have made. I started actually being able to relax on my time off. The hardest part in going through this whole experience was that I kept telling myself, and it was really messing with me psychologically, that if I can't do this job and do it well, then I'm a failure. I can say that now I no longer equate my unwillingness to continue working in a toxic corporate culture as a personal failure. You know, I haven't found my next opportunity yet. I've started interviewing. I know without a doubt to trust my gut instinct. I think I'm in a place now where if I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, I probably am. That's kind of the conclusion that I had to come to here, is that, hold on a second, you're doing all this work, you're churning out these strategy decks that nobody else on your team has even thought to do. You're having to go jump through all these hoops that other people clearly are not having to jump through. You don't have any support, and yet you somehow still figured this stuff out anyway, having no background in it and no prior experience. What the heck? There's no job or company that's ever going to be perfect, but your manager should be supportive of you. I don't mean that everything they say is going to be positive. That's not my expectation at all. But they should be providing regular constructive feedback and leading by example. I think beyond that, obviously they've hired you for a reason. And I'd like to think that they didn't hire me just to prove, like, see, here's another female who can't hack it. You know, I'd like to think that they should recognize the skill set that you bring to the table, because after all, they chose to hire you over other candidates. So if they aren't supportive, I think you're better off moving on, putting your mental health first. Your choices around your mental health are yours and yours alone. I really do feel like, you know, for me and in this experience, I recognized that I was kind of starting to gaslight myself, because I was getting no real positive feedback from anyone ever. And so I kept thinking, well, I must be doing something wrong. And then I would be looking at everything that I had done and accomplished and worked on when I wasn't receiving feedback that I felt equated to what I was churning out. It was like, well, something wrong with my thought process? Well, am I not thinking correctly? Well, maybe I'm thinking that I'm doing great work, but maybe I'm not. And what I came to realize is that, and maybe this was intentional or unintentional, I don't know. I can't read the guy's mind. But I think sometimes, and I felt this way with regard to my manager, is that he would say things to kind of put me back in my place. Like, No, you're getting a little too big for your britches. Oh, you're confident again? Oh, I'm going to put you right back over here. Him kind of continually bringing up what Nick had repeated verbatim to him, bringing that up on a fairly regular basis, almost every quarter or so, it kind of was his kind of power move of being like, you know, I could take this from you at any point. You know, after I had moved into my new apartment, because when I was in graduate school, I had moved into, you know, a bit of a dump because I was in graduate school. And, you know, you do what you have to do, right? But I had worked incredibly hard and was able to move into a really, really great place in January of this year. You know, and I had taken off 5 days to do that. And ever so often, my manager uses that as an opportunity. He'll say, oh, so how's that apartment? How's that apartment? You know, and it's not because he wants to get to know me. I mean, he's made that pretty clear. He doesn't really want to get to know me on any kind of personal level whatsoever. It's more of, well, you know, don't you forget it. You know, your job here is paying for that. I've started to recognize, hold on a second here. I am worthy. I did put myself through graduate school. I did accomplish all these things. I'm not unintelligent. I'm not worthless. I don't need to rethink my entire life right now. I just need to get out of this toxic work environment. it's really not fun when you're in it, and I'm still in it, but my mindset has changed. I can kind of see what's going on now and separate myself from it while it's happening and go, oh yeah, that dude. And I go, oh, there he goes again. You know, oh, he did exactly what I thought he was going to do. Yeah, but that's okay because I was prepared.
Grace was prepared because she shifted her mindset from survival mode to growth mode, allowing her to see things through a new lens. This empowered her to believe in herself, giving her great confidence. And with confidence comes a sense of ease, making challenges seem less daunting and instilling a belief that she had the answers. Grace was producing great work, but couldn't realize it until she shifted her perspective. It took hitting an all-time low to change her mindset. After reflecting on her experience, Grace has some new wisdom to lead with.
Even now, like, I am grateful for the experience because I'm going to take all of this and I'm going to use it to try to do my best at the next job. I think it's so important to make sure that you're not aligning how you feel about yourself and the core of who you are with any job ever. Some of these companies and corporate cultures and ways of working are not going to jive with who you are. And you're not going to figure that out by going to a company corporate website and reading about their principles and their mission statement, because we all know that that is for public consumption. That is not for internal employees. And most of the time, it's not going to align with how things are actually kind of jiving in-house. And so it's really good to kind of be aware, like you're kind of noting different things and you're picking up on different things. And it's all information gathering. And like the longer that you work with people, there are patterns that kind of come up. And so you note those even more. And I think the thing that makes those of us who have survived toxic workplaces stronger than people that maybe have had a little bit easier a go of it is that we actually come out the other side of it stronger in the end, because even if we end up in another toxic work environment, we've already got battle scars from before. So we're kind of going, okay, yeah, I've been through something similar and I've made it through to the other side and I did what I had to do. So yeah, you figure out ways of coping until you can get out. But it's not the same as like your first kind of encounter. I think it maybe it doesn't hit the same. And just because you can see something doesn't mean that like you have to hurry up and like escape Alcatraz kind of thing. You know what I mean? You can see it and recognize it and go, okay, that's a thing. I'm going to avoid, or I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'm just going to navigate this. But the fact that I can see it protects me already, because we ain't playing this game again. I already know what kind of deal you are, what kind of person you are, what game you're trying to play, and I'm not falling for it. Nobody wants to have to go through all this insanity to try to get to this point. But unfortunately, sometimes that ends up being the case. You know, originally when I was finishing graduate school, I was like, I'm going to be a VP or a director. Like, I'm going to the top. You know, and I think I have a different perspective about it now, because I kind of have realized that the closer that you get to the top, the more political your job ends up being. And that's not who I am. And that's not where I'm trying to kind of lay my cards. And so I've kind of realized that if that means that I never end up being a director or a VP, you know what? I'm okay with that. And maybe it's better for me to recognize that I don't want to do that than to be one of these managers who doesn't manage and then has let down these people who report into them and ruins their experience. I think it's important for these organizations to recognize that some of these people that they've promoted, they never should have put them in management positions. And, you know, I think that some of these people should be evaluated. And I mean, actually, honestly, evaluated by the people that report into them, not these like surveys that they say are anonymous, but that aren't. And we're all supposed to just magically say that everything's great because we know that the feedback's going to get back to our boss and he's going to figure out who filled it out. I think the right thing, it's going to come through. I'm trying not to put too much of a time limit on it as much as just taking the time to make sure that I don't end up in another really shitty situation.
This toxic workplace experience has helped Grace see what's most important in life, her well-being. The corporate dream of climbing the ladder was unveiled to be an illusion not worth chasing. She now realizes it's not all about the fancy titles or status symbols, it's about the simple freedoms, like relaxing after a long day of work or enjoying time with friends and family. Navigating through tough challenges is an inevitable part of life. It's a necessary burden that brings us fortitude. Your hardest challenges will push you to evolve and reach into the depths of your abilities. And when you reach the finish line, you will discover new facets of yourself you never thought possible. However long or hard your road, just know that there's a great meaning and purpose on the other side. Next time on Toxic Workplace.
My operations manager actually told me to put a fake DBS number in the staff profiles, which were sent to the care homes because they needed urgent cover. So they would sort of skirt around in any way they could in order to get the cover. It was just a lot of dodgy practice. And even when it came to inspections, there were a couple of instances where management would have a go at us for not getting all the files fully compliant, even though we were doing so much work as is. And at one point, they were saying that they didn't care how things were done, they just needed the compliance done. So they would get us to fake training certificates to make it look like staff members completed all their trainings, even though they didn't. In some cases, we were sending these documents to the care homes, and I knew that it was dodgy practice, but I guess I didn't really question it, considering that there was that part of me that was afraid of questioning management at the time. So I was just kind of thinking in my head, this just does not feel right.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have a story to share, please go to toxicworkplacepodcast.com, click on Be a Guest, and fill out the submission form. Your story will be completely anonymous. All names are changed to protect the employer and the employee. And if you like this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.